Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on this beautiful November Sunday before Thanksgiving. Well, at this time, we shall proceed with our worship service. So would you please all join me in the invitation to worship? Good morning. May God's blessings be with you this day. May the light of Christ's love shine on you today. Open your hearts to celebrate the reign of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now please join me in the unison prayer. Lord of light and life, we come to you this day in celebration of the witness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Open our hearts, our spirits, and our lives to listen to his words for us. Help us to be faithful disciples for you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the day that the Lord hath made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us bow in prayer then, please. Lord, we are so grateful for your presence here today. We know that you are with us at all times, but somehow, when we're in your house, we feel your presence so much more. It is good to have fellowship with you as we sing our praises and pray our prayers and hear your word spoken. It's also good to fellowship with our friends, find out what's been going on with them, and hopefully all is well. But if not, they can tell us what their need for prayer is. We ask that you would be with those of our friends and families whose names we have lifted up to you today. Please be with each and every one of them. And also, Lord, we know there are others who are hurting here today, and you know who they are. So it is in your precious name, Lord, that we ask for your mercy and grace on all. Amen. But if you will help me with the Lord's Prayer, we will do that this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord of peace and serenity, receive the gifts we bring this day as we present them in thankfulness and joy. We bring ourselves also, Lord, as an offering that in living lives of truth, justice, honor, and excellence, we might please you and be worthy of your never-failing love and presence with us. Grateful that Christ and the Holy Spirit might dwell in us, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
We have two scriptures this morning. One is from the book of Psalms, and the other will be from the book of Joel. Psalm 126 from the Common English Bible reads, "When the Lord changed Zion's circumstances for the better, it was like we had been dreaming. Our mouths were suddenly filled with laughter. Our tongues were filled with joyful shouts. It was even said at the time among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Yes, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are overjoyed. Lord, change our circumstances for the better like dry streams in the desert wastes. Let those who plant with tears reap the harvest of joyful shouts. Let those who go out crying and carrying their seed come home with joyful shouts, carrying bales of grain." From Joel chapter 2, verses 21 to 27, "Don't fear, fertile land. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lord is about to do great things. Don't be afraid, animals of the field, for the meadows of the wilderness will turn green. The tree will bear its fruit. The fig tree and grapevine will give their full yield. Children of Zion, rejoice and be glad in the Lord your God, because he will give you the early rain as a sign of righteousness. He will pour down abundant rain for you, the early and the late rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, the vats will overflow, and the new wine and fresh oil. I will repay you for the years that the cutting locust, the swarming locust, the hopping locust, and the devouring locust have eaten my great army, which I sent against you. You will eat abundantly and be satisfied, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has done wonders for you, and my people will never again be put to shame. You will know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God. No other exists. Never again will my people be put to shame. The word of God. Thanks be to God. If you've ever raised kids or ever been around kids, whether they're toddlers or teenagers or somewhere in between, it is likely that you have heard these words at some point and found your kids in a battle over some kind of prized possession. It's mine. Those possessions, they can be a favorite teddy bear, a doll, a pair of blue jeans, shoes, a hair dryer, a curling iron. And when that happens, you're sure to hear, "Well, that was mine. You took mine. It belongs to me." On the other hand, if we're honest as adults, we too can often be plagued by those famous little words of, "Well, that's mine." And we look at our possessions and all the stuff we have, and we say, "That's mine." We put up our no trespassing signs that say, "Well, those are mine. Keep out. It's all mine." In fact, I used those other words the other day when I brought home some Reese's sticks and told my granddaughter Chloe, "Those are mine." Now, of course, she has her own little stockpile of "that's mine" too. But for whatever reason, those words appear to offer us some kind of sense of security. If we say the house is mine, it evokes within us this sense of security. It tells us that we have a safe place to go, a place to sleep, a place to eat, and a place to play. And that stuff tells us who we are. It's mine. It's what makes me comfortable. It's what makes me feel safe. It's what makes my home home. So whether we realize it or not, there's an enormous amount of power in the idea that something belongs to me and is mine. And we learn this word at a very, very early age. And that longing to obtain and control and have the things that we want starts very early in life. And it's a desire that, well, it really never goes away. How many of you, there's things in this world that you would still like to have? Nobody wants anything? Come on, I know y'all better than that. Thanksgiving Day is a way of reminding us that this is not how things work in God's economy. On a day when we pause from our daily routines to count our blessings around our tables of abundance, we might also pause and ponder that there's actually very little over which we can claim absolute ownership. Consequently, our festive celebration should be a day when we give thanks to God and revisit the reality. Well, are you ready? Nothing that we have is really ours. In the Hebrew, there is no verb that means to have, as in to possess something. The expression "to have something" that we translate in the English more accurately means something like, "It is there to me," or "It is available to me." When we assess what we have and what is mine in this light, perhaps we can better see this idea that, well, nothing really belongs to us. So it's helpful as we look towards those celebrations to keep in mind everything we have is made available to us from God and is simply on loan to us for a time. When you think about it, what we often call the harvest season is a time when all of nature's bounty is on display, and it helps us understand just how much is available to us. When you look at all the harvesting going on, all of that is what God's made available to us. We saw deer on the way this morning. God made those available to us, whether it be for beauty, for clothing, or to eat. But it's not ours. The natural order of things provides us with this cycle, though, of gratitude and release and return. And it's all on display right before us. So we might say that just like the leaves have turned from summer's green to this variety of colors and are now being returned to the earth, we too are being called to return our hearts to God. And our thoughts to the provisions of God's abundance in our lives once again. You know, as I've traveled about and watched our farmers out in the fields harvesting crops, I am always reminded of the abundance of the fruit and grain that's brought in from the field is just another signal to us to return our lives to God so that we might bear fruit for the kingdom of God, become harvesters of righteousness and peace. Harvesters of righteousness and peace. So as we lift our praise and participate in the cycle of gratitude and release and return, we're to remember we do not own this earth. Its fullness or its fruitfulness, and that all things come from the fruit of God's creation. Most of you have heard me, whenever I do a blessing, say that we thank you, God, for all that you have given us, because of all good things come from the fruit of your earth. So we're called to share all that we have and give thanks to God for all that we have received. Now, I know a lot of you are on Facebook because I see you on there. And if you paid any attention, this last couple of weeks have just been filled with all kinds of things that are people are thankful for. I think my favorite one was there was a picture of a little three-year-old, and it was a little video, and he has all these puppies around him. There must be eight of them. I can't imagine having eight puppies around me, but eight puppies. And this little boy says, I'm thankful for all these puppies that my dog had. And I don't know about his mom. She didn't say anything, but, you know, he's thankful for puppies. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Because it doesn't have to be huge. And it doesn't have to be big. It can be any small thing. It's a common practice during this season then to celebrate those generosities of God. I'm thankful for many, many things. I'm thankful for the sun that shines, the moon at night, for colored leaves, my spouse, children, nieces, nephews, close friends, grandchild. Chloe and I on the way home last night saw a meteor shower. It was really cool. We couldn't figure out what it was at first. We thought it was just this big thing in the sky by the campground, maybe up on a great big thing. And we kept watching it. And we kept looking at it. We're like, nope, that's not a plane. No, that can't be up on a big ladder of some kind because there's no ladder going to go that tall. And all of a sudden, it just went away and kind of sprinkled down. And that's when we realized what we had seen. We're so thankful for that moment to be able to experience that. And Chloe actually got a picture of it. So that was pretty cool. But we are called to share for all those things that we're thankful for. And I'm also thankful that I serve a loving God. And for God's grace and for the blessings of God in our midst. On the other hand, I recognize that it's also pretty darn easy to praise God when things are going really, really, really good in our life. When our health is good, the bills are paid, our children are content, then praising God and giving thanks for our blessings is really, really easy. But you know, what if you haven't been particularly blessed this year? What if your health is failing? What if you've lost a loved one or a dear friend? What if you're facing homelessness or you've just fallen into despair for whatever reason? Or if, like this morning, you pulled out of the garage and you hit your husband's truck? It's during these times that we sometimes tend to say, gee, what am I going to be thankful for today? Because I'm sure when I call him and tell him that I hit the truck this morning, he's not going to be real happy with me. But I'm thankful that I have a car to drive and that he's got a truck I can run into and I won't hurt it. I suppose when we look around, though, at the daily clamor of the customer complaint department of our lives, it's sometimes hard to be thankful. You know, when the car breaks down and you have three screaming kids in the back seat and the washer quit working and the cat ran away, all within the span of a few short hours, it's sometimes hard to be thankful. When the price of everything has skyrocketed and we look at the state of the nation and the world, we sometimes struggle to give thanks and save blessings. When we look around at our churches that are grieving a variety of losses and are focused only on what was instead of what can be, it's easy to lose hope and wonder if there's any hope for the future at all. When our lives appear bleak and dark, it's not uncommon for us to question the blessings and the promises of God. How many of you have ever said, God, where are you? You can show up now. Y'all done that? Yeah, I see some shaking heads. Yeah, we've done that. Sometimes it's just not easy. And at times like that, it's kind of tempting to be kind of angry at God as if we've done nothing or we have nothing to give thanks for and be captives of our own despair. It's just so easy to do that. It's easy to ask, what have I got to sing about? And to lose sight of our need to praise God despite those current circumstances. So I wonder, what are you thankful for today? What do you shout for joy about? Our psalm talked about shouting for joy. What are you shouting for joy about? So see, it's so easy just to take a moment and name what we're thankful for. Because you know, in today's psalm, the people's current reality is this cry for restoration. While the people have been greatly blessed in the past, now they're saying, Lord, change our circumstances for the better. Let those who plant with tears reap the harvest with joyful shouts. Let those crying, carrying their seed home with joyful shouts, carrying bales of grain. Psalm 126 is that plea for those of us when we find it hard to be thankful. It's a plea for restoration, a song of joy, as well as a balm for the wearied soul. And it carries this powerful message of hope. Joel carries with it that same message, don't fear. The Lord is about to do great things. That there is an abundant future waiting in the wings for us as you journey forward. Both teach us that there's always hope. Despite current circumstances, that our God is a restorative God and that we have a future that is laden with blessings, even if we can't yet fathom or see them. Sometimes people say, I'm having a hard time finding the blessing. The text teaches us to be thankful and practice gratefulness towards God on a daily basis amidst the sunny days in the middle of the storm for the gifts of the moment we have been given in the past that are present today. And then it promises us an abundance of grace. Both texts tells us that in our times of trouble and sorrow, it won't last, and that God will turn our sorrow to joy and our tears to laughter, and once again, how to remain thankful amidst the best and the worst of days. So how do we remain thankful? How do we praise God in each and every day? Not just the good days, because we can always call up something good. But let's face it, not every day is a great day. Ever had a bad day? No, that's never happened to any of you, has it? You never had a bad day. In those days, it gets kind of tough. And so the psalmist is reflecting upon a time when the people, some 70 years earlier, well, they've been exiled to Babylon, and they're recalling those days in captivity. And it was pretty bleak then. And they had little hope. They didn't have any hope at all that they were ever going to see their homeland again. Nevertheless, despite their circumstances, well, they'd adjusted. They'd become accustomed to being in this captive place. They'd settled in a new land. They'd married. They'd had children. And they did the best they could. They carved out the best life that they possibly could. And then suddenly, with no warning at all, this proclamation is made. And just like that, in the blink of an eye, they are no longer captives. And guess what? They get to go home. Oh, happy day. Think about that. You're stuck someplace you don't want to be for 70 years, and all you can do is dream about going back, and all of a sudden you get to go back. And for these people who had very little other than their dignity, they could barely contain their joy when meeting up with these better circumstances. And so now they're saying, it was like we'd been dreaming. Our mouths were suddenly filled with laughter. Our tongues were filled with joyful shouts. You ever remember a time when things just weren't going very well and all of a sudden things got really great and now you're all happy? Can you imagine? For 70 years, those people had waited for this day. They'd prayed for when they could return to their homeland and worship God in Jerusalem once again. And now, unbelievable as it was, they have that opportunity. And the idea of being actually able to travel to Jerusalem to worship God, well, it was too good to be true. And yet, here they were. Grace unexpected and undeserved had washed over them. I mean, just think about this. How they must have felt when God restored them after they'd suffered so long. And then they suddenly realized that grace can show up at any point along life's journey. That sometimes, even when we feel like in the psalmist all the hope is gone, that the blessings of God can come so unexpectedly and sudden that we feel like we're in a dream. And so they sing this joy of deliverance, but here's the thing. Their current reality is that they are singing these words of praise and thanksgiving as they're looking in the face of some pretty disheartening circumstances. The praise and thanksgiving that we hear in the first four verses are expression of thanks and remembrance for the things that God had done for them in the past. Because when we get to that verse 4, we see a bit of a shift as the people realize, despite God's blessings and grace, once they get home, things aren't like they used to be. And well, they are no longer captives, but there isn't much to return to. Their homes are gone, their storehouses are empty, the temple is in ruins. Have you ever went back to some place you were really excited to go back to, and you have all these fond memories of it, and then you get there and you think, wow, this is nothing like it used to be. This is not what I expected. So all of a sudden they realize, you know, this is a real blessing, but our lives are going to need to be rebuilt. And so they, once again, they face this discouragement and opposition. And so the now, the psalmist is saying, restore us, O God, restore us. It would have been easy to lose hope, to give up, feel God had only delivered them from a false blessing. But instead, they do something different. They recall that despite things not turning out as they expected, despite the hard work it would take to rebuild their lives again, that God had delivered them from their captivity in the past. And so now they could trust God to do it again. They were going to trust God to do it again. And I think this is key. Standing amid all the rubble and all the brokenness and the despair, they do what? They remember God's faithfulness, and they make this decision to trust God again. So the psalmist says, change our circumstances for the better, like dry streams in the desert waste. Restore our fortunes, just like you do in the natural order of things. Just like you do with the changing of seasons. Restore everything again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. But those who are counting only their losses, who plant with tears, reap with joyful harvests. And then they trust God to do it. Because they know and they remember God's been faithful and what God's done for them in the past. You see, in this passage, while they are asking God to bring joy and restoration to their situation, at the same time, they're remembering the blessings of God's deliverance in the past. And so they sing songs of joy. They have hope because of the great things that God has done. So how do you and I have hope when things seem bleak? And I hear a lot of that. A lot of people, even in this time of the year, we're supposed to be thankful, but, you know, I hear a lot of the bleakness that goes on in the world. And there is. So how do we have that hope in the midst when we wonder, is there really a blessing in this world left? We remember and we marvel at how God has helped us in the past, and we trust God to do it again. Trust God to do it again. When has God ever helped you in the past? You trust God. You rely on those times. There have been so many times when I didn't think I was going to make it through something. And I've had to rely on prayer and hope and pray and hope and pray. And I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. I don't think I'm going to make it through this week. Or I don't think I'm going to make it through this situation. And every single time, God comes through. And I come over on the other side. And it's hard in the middle to trust that God's going to do something, but God always does. So today, as we face that week of Thanksgiving, there are those among us can shout about the great things that God has done. And we can thank God for all the blessings of this past year, but let us also remember there are also those who can't. And if you can do that, if you can shout out with joy, do that. But if you can't, remember that when God's people were being held captive, they too wondered if they would ever sing a song of joy again. And they did. That in a moment of grace and in the blink of an eye, God changed their circumstances for the better. And God can do the same for you. This passage tells us that when we shout, we will shout with joy again. Because our God is a God of an abundant grace. Our God is a God of an abundant grace. So we can be thankful for a lot of things this week. But let us not forget to be thankful for the abundance of God's grace. Because there is always grace for us. As you go forth from here, go forth praising God and giving thanks, and may you have a blessed week. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.